Blog Talk Radio.
Your heart.
stood low, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. In all of the seemingly impossible things the Lord calls us to do, He does guarantee us this one crucial thing, and it is that He would be with us always, He would never leave us, and He would never forsake us. He said He would not leave us comfortless, but would come to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Because after the Spirit comes on us, we would receive power. Power to be His witnesses. Supernatural power to accomplish a supernatural task. That's why right now, I feel the supernatural presence of the Lord. I feel the presence of the One who calls the dead back to life. The presence of the One who heals withered bodies. The One who gives peace to troubled minds. The One who mends the brokenhearted. The One who restores crippled lives. The One who saves. The One who delivers, who forgives. The One whose name causes demons to tremble. I feel the presence of Jesus in this place. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. Right now, let's give God something to inhabit. Let's lift our voice, lift our heart, lift our hands, lift our faith, and say, I feel Jesus in this place.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me on tonight. I am Prophetess Stacey, and of course, this is Prolific Fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for joining on tonight. The first song that I played was Breathe by Christy Knuckles, and the second song was I Feel Jesus by Carmen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you on tonight, God, for everybody. I thank you, Lord God, for everybody that's joining me on tonight, Lord God, whether they're listening through Blog Talk Radio or listening through Periscope or listening through iTunes on tonight, Lord God. I give you honor and I give you praise for them on tonight. God, I pray that this word will will minister that to them tremendously on tonight, Lord God, that it will find them, Lord God, at the area of their need, Lord God, and minister to them like never before, Lord God. Thank you for each and every person, Lord God. Strengthen me on tonight, Lord God. Set me down that you may stand up mightily in me tonight, God. In your name, as always, gives the glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Once again, for those of you who may be new, my name is Poverty Stacy. And the vision statement of this ministry is, political fire seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means that we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. And tonight is no different. Tonight, title of the message is, Jesus Made the Difference. Somebody ought to be testifying right there, because you know it wasn't you, it wasn't your family, it wasn't your friends, but Jesus made the difference. I don't know about you, but I had a rough week, and I know that Jesus made the difference for me. To God be the glory. The foundational text comes from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, and I will be reading from the NIV. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. Again, the title of tonight's message is Jesus Made the Difference. Think with me. If you have been listening to Prolific Fire for any time, you know I like to make you think. I like to read a text and make you think from the text. So think with me. So how does a person get stuck in a situation for years? Remember, this man said that he had been in this situation for 38 years. That's what Jesus found out about him. He had been in that situation for 38 years. So just how does a person get stuck in a situation for years? I mean, didn't the man in tonight's foundational text have family and friends? Somebody that knew he was down there at that pool struggling? Didn't they care? Why didn't they care enough to at least go down there and try to check on him and help him if possible? It was not the responsibility of the other people around him who were in the same situation as him. It was not their responsibility to try and help him and themselves too. Down at that pool, the pool of Bethesda, it was every man or woman for themselves. When Jesus asked him in the text, "Do you want to get well?" he even said as much. He replied, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." It sounds like every man and woman for themselves to me. And that's when his family and friends should have stepped up, but they didn't. None of them did. I know this text has been preached, putting the blame on the man in the text. I know this text has been preached over and over again, putting the blame on the man, saying what he should have done or been able to do after so long a time. But I'm here to tell you that when you've tried and tried and you can't do it for yourself, that's when your friends and your family should step up. That's when your family and your friends should step up if they're really your family and friends. That's when your family and your friends should step up. When you've tried and tried and tried to do it on your own and you see that you can't, when they see that you can't, that's when your family and your friends should step up if they're really your family and your friends. It was not like he needed someone to put him in the pool. Listen to the wording of the text. It was not like he needed someone to put him in the pool with no effort on his part. But he told Jesus in the text, I had no one. He had no one to help him in the pool, assist him in getting there. There's a major difference. There's a major difference between put him in the pool and help him in the pool. Put him in the pool means with no effort on his part. Help him in the pool means assist him in getting there. There's a major difference between the two. Side note, when you're reading Bible text, check out and consider carefully the wording of the text, line upon line. Consider every word and why it may be worded the way that it's worded versus another way. It can make a major difference. And with that being said, the Bible talks about God setting the lonely in families. The Bible talks about God setting the lonely in families. Psalm 6:8-6 NIV. Therefore, the purpose of being in a family is not to be lonely, to not feel alone, like you have no one to help. But despite the family and friends you're supposed to have, that's exactly how some of you feel alone. Because you know they're not reliable enough to fill in the blank. They're not reliable enough to help you do whatever it is that you need to get done in this particular season of your life. Fill in the blank because they're not reliable enough to. Sometimes it's not that you don't want to get well. It's just that you know that you can't get well on your own. Sometimes it's not that you don't want to get well. It's just that you know that you can't get well on your own. And you shouldn't have to do it on your own. The Bible talks about the strong bearing the infirmities of the weak. Romans 15:1, King James Version. In tonight's text, it's reasonable to assume that this disabled man had all kinds of doubt and fear running through his mind after so long a time and him not being healed. But despite all his frailties, despite all his insecurities, again, think with me, what if he was still the strongest person in his family? Somebody you know exactly how it feels to be the strongest person in your family. Somebody you know exactly how it feels to be the strongest person in your family. That's why you can't get no help. That's why you can't get no help. They are too weak to help you. They are too weak to help you. They're too weak to help you. And though you're stronger than them, what people don't seem to understand that the strongest person can be vulnerable, susceptible to things too. Samson is described as the strongest person. But in Judges 16, even he was vulnerable, susceptible. Totally crazy how people can overlook your strength as a person. It is totally crazy how people can overlook your strength as a person, looking at the weakness of your issue. It is totally crazy how people can overlook your strength as a person, looking at the weakness of your issue. The man in tonight's text was strong. He had to be strong. Think with me. He had to be strong in order to go through the same thing for 38 years. He had to be strong to go through the same thing for years. And somebody, you are strong because you keep on enduring the same thing. You've been enduring it for 30-something years. You've been enduring it for years. Somebody, you've been enduring it for years. He had to be strong in order to go through the same thing for years. He had to be strong to try and fail and then sit there and watch as someone else successfully does what he was trying to do. While he was there trying to get in where he fit in, someone else goes down into the water ahead of him. Do you know how it feels to be so close to something you want, something you need? Do you know how it feels to get your hopes up for nothing? Do you know the hope and the heartbreak in that? Do you know the hope and the heartbreak in that? The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13 and 12, NIV. The Contemporary English Version says, not getting what you want can break your heart. Not having your family and friends there for you when you are struggling so much can break your heart. Not having your family and friends there when you know they know what's going on with you can break your heart. The man in the text was an invalid, which means his issue was a physical issue. So, of course, his family and friends knew. Just like your family and friends know, if what you're struggling with is physical on tonight, they see you. They see you. They know you need someone. They see you and they know you need someone. You need someone, just like the man in the text needed someone to help him get in that pool, the pool of Bethesda. But love is nothing to be ashamed of. You're not lazy because you need someone else's help. You're not lazy because you need someone else's help. Sometimes you're best in trying to hold things together. It's just not enough. You need someone to help you heal. And the fact that you have no one can be hard. And the fact that you have no one is hard. It's a hard scenario like this that leads to depression. Sorrow may hide behind laughter. Proverbs 14 and 13, Contemporary English Version, meaning there may be days when the smile on your face is just a front. To hide the growing sorrow in your heart. In the text, when Jesus saw him laying there, meaning he was no longer trying to get in the water. He had given up by the time Jesus saw him. And Jesus learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, just laying there. Somebody tonight, you've given up. You're just laying there in your own sorrow, no longer expecting help, assistance, not after family and friends have let you down the way they have. You're just laying there. After so long a time, you've come not to expect, but you accept things as they are. Like Elijah, you've had enough, and you just want to give up, 1 Kings 19. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, those who were supposed to be for you have been no use to you. That you're in the most agonizing, stressful situation of your life, and you wonder if there could be possibly another way, but you haven't found it. So you're just laying there. Luke 22:44, New Living Translation. And every day is a fight to get you up and out of bed when you really just want to lay there and stay laying there. But Jesus made the difference. Stuck in a situation for years, and you really believe that people, meaning family and friends, saw your situation and chose to leave you as you were because they didn't want to be publicly associated with an invalid, a person that was disabled in some way or considered a burden, associated with a dropout. publicly associated with a struggling alcoholic, a struggling drug addict, etc., struggling with a person that yet curses, uses profanity. You would be amazed at the prejudice that exists in families. You would be amazed at the prejudice that exists in families against each other, among so-called friends even. Don't believe me? If you don't believe me tonight, get in a situation requiring their help and watch the truth surface. Get in a situation requiring their help and watch the truth surface. Like the axe Elijah was using and dropped in 1 Kings 6. It coming to the surface seemed impossible, but there it was. Stuff has a way of surfacing. Don't be fooled. Stuff has a way of surfacing. Don't be fooled. No wonder the Bible says, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. No wonder the Bible says, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Mark 3:25, King James Version. Families in 2017 are not like families used to be. There are no black Huxtables on TV or otherwise. No white Brady Bunch on TV or otherwise. Families that have challenges, struggles on a weekly basis, but always pull together to find a solution. No situation lingered on unaddressed. The Huxtables introduced the world to family meetings back in the late 80s, the 90s, as a way to solve family drama. But sadly, the Cosby Show has been canceled, and so has the concept of family meetings. And if you are one of the rare ones to actually still have that type of bond, support system within your family, to God be the glory, because so many of us don't. But Jesus made the difference. Not the people around the man at the pool, not the people around you, not the family and friends that had denied the man in the text, had ignored him, and certainly not the family and friends that have denied you, ignored you. Truth be told, some of you have been practically disowned. Truth be told, some of you have practically been disowned by family and friends. But Jesus made the difference. In the text, Jesus came into that invalid man's life when he was at his lowest, just laying there. Jesus came into his life when he was at his lowest, just laying there. You see, Jesus doesn't come into your life when you're at your highest, feeling like you're on top of the world, feeling like you got it all together, because there is no room for him in that. But the moment you get low, glory to God, the moment you get low, humble yourself, humble your attitude, that's when Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, comes and approaches. Jesus approached the man and asked, "Do you want to get well?" Until then, people just thought he was slow, lazy, beyond help. And there are people that think the same thing about you too. They think you're slow, they think you're lazy, and they think you are beyond help. You can tell in the way they talk to you that they think you're slow. You can tell in the way that they criticize you that they think you're lazy and beyond help. For years, I've heard this text preached criticizing the man for being lazy, not trying, for being beyond help. But Jesus is a lifter of your head above every criticism. Above every prejudice being held against you. Above every situation that has afflicted your body. Jesus is a lifter of your head. Psalms 33:3, King James Version. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4:10, King James Version. That means to come to him as a little child. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That means to come to him as a little child. It doesn't mean going back in age or us coming to him as early in life as possible. Mark 10:15. the woman with the issue of blood all those years got healed when she humbled herself and finally realized she couldn't do it, the doctors couldn't do it, the money she had couldn't do it, but Jesus. Jesus made the difference, Mark 5. So do you want to get well? So do you want to get well on tonight? Won't you come? If you want to get well on tonight, won't you come? Father God, heal everybody coming to you tonight. Some for the very first time. Touch and make well each one of us, myself included. Call somebody to take up their mat that they've been laying on, the crutch they've been leaning on. Stir the water of their souls and break the grip of depression, any and all addictions. Break any and all addictions. Deliver their self-esteem. Restore them back from the prejudice being held against them, the criticism being spoke about them. In Jesus' name, make the difference, Jesus. And to this we say, amen. If there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice via Blog Talk Radio or Periscope or iTunes or however you're listening, whether you're listening live or to the replay, and you want to know more about salvation, feel free to go to prolificfireministry.com, prolificfireministry.com. There you will learn more about salvation. Also, if you desire, you can leave a prayer request that way, and it will come directly to me, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. I see that live on Blog Talk Radio, there are no prayer requests live on tonight, but if you're somebody listening to me, like I just said, if you're listening to me, I don't care how you're listening, but if you're listening, I thank God for you. And if you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. Join my sister in ministry, Prophetess Pate, on July the 14th, this Friday night, for prayer. Join her for prayer and an encouraging word. You can never get too much prayer. So join her this Friday night. Faith on the Line, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. Call 712-451-0011. 712-451-0011. Access code 474723. Or you can Periscope in at Natasha C. Pate 24, and Pate is P-A-T-E. And if you're on Periscope, you can follow her on Periscope. Her name is Prophetess Pate, and her username on Periscope is Natasha C. Pate 24. Also, be sure to join me right back here on Prolific Fire. Right back here on Prolific Fire, same time, same place. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, I will be back here around the same time. If you're listening on Periscope, you can Periscope in at Prolific Fire. The message will be, your life resembles what you trust. If you don't like the way your life looks, pull away from what you have been trusting. Your life resembles what you trust. If you don't like the way your life looks, pull away from what you have been trusting. And I can guarantee you that if your life don't look too good, what you are trusting is not God. And we'll talk more about that next week. I told you we deal with real issues around here. Find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Periscope at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Pate, and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. And with that being said, on tonight, beloved, I thank you, everybody, once again. Until next Monday, I'm out. God bless.